It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the Chicago Improv Festival may be over, but that doesn't mean that the high quality improvisation isn't on display this week. Tomorrow and Wednesday night, the duo Ed Furman and Dan Bacadal are back together as Trainwreck. Furman has written and performed for Second City, where he currently is working. He's a big part of the Annoyance Theater, co-writing the hit show Co-Ed Prison Sluts. And Bacadal is on stage at Second City, now lives in L.A., where he can be seen in movies and television, including Veep on HBO, which is coming up this month, where he plays Congressman Roger Furlong, and the CBS sitcom Life in Pieces, which just got picked up for season 3. Dan, Ed, good to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us. This is great.
Let me add, I mean, this is obviously the week after the Improv Festival. What brings you guys back together in town? I mean, obviously you're living in L.A. What is it about bringing Trainwreck back to Second City this week?
I think, you know, is this the fourth or fifth year that we've done this?
This is, I think, the fourth year we've brought it back after our 10-year hiatus.
Yeah, we had a 10-year hiatus, and then one day, I don't even remember who reached out to whom and said, hey, you think you want to do our show again, maybe? Would that be something you'd be interested in? And the other one was like, yeah, and Allison Riley over at the Second City set it up, and we just did one night, and then I went home, and we went, that was fun, we should do it again. Yeah, okay, a year later. Hey, what do you think about doing the show again? I don't know. There's an Arctic blast coming. Perfect. Let's do it then. And that's what we've done every year. It's been like March, April.
Always around March, April. Yeah.
Okay, so both of you guys. I mean, Trainwreck is, like you said, I think it was 15 years or so that you've been doing the show.
Somewhere
around there. What is it? Because both of you do improv. You work with a lot of different improvisers. What is it that keeps bringing you two back together? What is it about your relationship, your chemistry that makes Trainwreck work?
I think it's the kind of intensity we bring to it, for a better word, because so much improv is, you know, goofy or silly, and which is fine and wonderful itself. But we do one scene, and you know, if you go silly too soon, you're sitting in it, and we just kind of bring a nice intensity to this one show we do.
Yeah, I think for me it was a thing where I was out in Los Angeles. I had spent, when I left Chicago, I was in New York for 2 years on The Daily Show, was working at the UCB, and it's kind of a different approach, but it was great because I had friends out there that were writing on shows, but it wasn't the same as what I did back here. And then went to Los Angeles and had kind of a similar experience where it was like, man, I'm kind of longing for what I used to do in Chicago. And that's why when whichever one of us it was that brought this up, I thought, yeah, this is something we slipped into this show at the beginning with zero rehearsal, just a common respect for the way each other plays and a common knowledge of useless musical trivia, things like that, that just kind of made us kind of fit in a way that we hit the ground running with the show. No rehearsals, nothing that I thought 10 years is nothing. The first time we did it, I'd gone 32 years without ever having improvised with Ed. So, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. It's a warm, safe place to land.
Does the concept
inside Ed?
When you got, of course,
land inside me.
You got it. Here we go.
The concept, the train wreck. I mean, it's more than just, can we get a suggestion? I mean, you guys are actually doing, like you said, there's one scene and you kind of have to work it out.
Yeah, you know, this came out of about the same time, like, Bass Prov and TJ and Dave were first starting. I was seeing that stuff, and I'm like, oh, I love this real time one scene, you know, no quick edits, no call, you know, no calling back multiple characters, but just to get the, if you just have an audience hooked and entertain them for 40 minutes in this one location, it's really challenging. It's really rewarding for us and for the audience too. We had several runs when we first did it in Chicago, and we had some really good shows.
Yeah,
you know, people kept coming.
I mean, is it what are the challenge of doing that way? Because there's some ways that we think that the consistency of being in one location or playing one character is great. I mean, but there's also the challenge that you can't get out of it if it's going nowhere, right?
Yeah, it's a funny thing. Like on Life in Pieces, I work with Diane Wiest, right? And beyond just dropping a name, I'll say this, that like the woman has amazing experience as an actress. And then you tell her you improvise and she goes, oh, dear. Oh, my goodness. That's so frightening. And then you tell her, well, the show I do is a 45-minute scene. And she goes, oh, well, that doesn't sound so difficult. But you tell someone who does long form improv that you're doing a 45-minute scene and they go, what? What do you do?
Why would
like,
you do that?
Why would you do that? Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing where it's like, for me, when we started talking about doing this show and Ed was like, I don't want to do a bunch of edits and all that stuff. I don't know. And I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to, one, I think he's faster, funnier, and smarter than I am. So I'm going to be going, here, Ed, how's this? Here, Ed, how's this? And just letting him run. And that's okay. But I thought, how are we possibly going to fill the time? And once you do it a couple times, you go, oh, you realize that you're just doing it all day long anyway.
Yeah, right.
You just change locations. You're just having a conversation. You just, every now and then we get quiet for a couple of minutes and one of us brushes our teeth and then comes back in and goes, hey, do you ever think about, and then another conversation starts.
And by the way, anyone who's seen the show knows that I play the straight man 80%
of
the time.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Ridiculous.
Ed Furman, Dan Bacadall in studio. The show Trainwreck is on stage tomorrow night and Wednesday night at the Second City ETC here in town. Dan, you know, it's interesting because you have such a pedigree when it comes to improv. You've done so much at Second City, and it's been a part of your career in Hollywood. It's funny because more and more the actors that are coming out and the comic actors, they have training in improv. Whether it be in New York at UCB or LA at the Groundlings or other places, it seems like it used to be you could walk into a room and say, my skill is improv. And they'd be like, oh. Now it's a prereq. Like, they don't let people in the door without it. How has that changed your business and how you approach your work?
Well, fortunately for me, I mean, I left Chicago 12 years ago, so it's been that way pretty much my whole professional career. I think what changed it was, you know, we were talking about Scott Adsit earlier. Scott Adsit, Rachel Dratch, Steph Weir, Keegan-Michael Key. I mean, all these people that from our generation, Horatio Sands. Yep. People like that went out there, and Neil Flynn and all these guys that went out to Los Angeles and to New York and brought this very strong improv, Chicago improv sensibility with them. And all the guys in the writer's rooms, the Brian Stacks, the Kevin Dorsch, I'll forget a thousand of them. There's a thousand of them that went out there, and that was their strength. And people went, oh, great, go. You know, just go, 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 go. I don't need to worry about you. So that by the time I got there, the groundwork had already been laid. It was pretty easy for me. But I've noticed that what happens in a group, I mean, for instance, on Life in Pieces, as opposed to Veep. Veep is a very improv-heavy show with a lot of people with a lot of improv experience. You know, Tim Simons, Matt Walsh, Julie Louis-Dreyfus herself, they're all Chicago people.
Right.
They have improv
experience.
They get
the concept. Yeah, they get the, yeah.
And they're not the only ones. Whereas on Life in Pieces, those people don't have improv experience. It's not their background. They're theater actors, and they're film actors, and they're child stars, and they're that kind of stuff. And it's not where they're coming from. So there are times where they go, whoa, how'd you do that? And you go, I just answered the question. That doesn't make it funny. But that's
the thing. Let me tell you about Yes And.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the thing that we learn on stage front of drunken Cubs fans is, you know, all you have to do is answer the question. And they go, I can't believe he answered the question. And you go, it's really that easy. It's just that easy. That's my improv class in one sentence. Just answer the question.
Just answer the question with Dan Bacadall.
I like the standing there stammering approach, too.
Yeah.
That maybe eventually denying the question.
Yeah, and eventually going, that's not a real
question. I'll ask the same question to you, Ed. I mean, working at Second City here in Chicago and so many different, I mean, I don't want to say just kids, but, you know, so many different people come into town now. Even when Dan was on stage.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it was a different the quantity of people who come to Chicago just to study and try to make their way to the stages at Second City is enormous. It's way bigger than when we were. I mean, it's crazy. It's thousands and thousands of people. How does that change? I mean, with people coming in with a college improv experience, with a writing experience. I mean, there's so many more people that have the understanding of what improv is than sort of when you were doing co-ed prison sluts.
Yeah, I think you said it right there. It's like these people are coming in, auditioning, and coming to Chicago with experience elsewhere, as opposed to there's no improv in Kansas City. There's nothing here. I got to come to Chicago where it is. We're now like, oh, we had a group in Kansas City. I had two improv groups in college. And so everyone comes here with that background, and it raises the bar so much. People come in knowing, so they take things further. They do things better. They do things quicker.
Do you think it changes? I mean, you think of any art form or any sort of even commerce in a way, but the way that there's so much experience coming to Chicago beforehand, does it change the Chicago product? Does you mentioned New York, L.A., Chicago, improv, they all have a different style. Does the product change when you have so many more people coming from all over the country here and bringing their own influence?
I'm sure it does. I don't, truth be told, I don't go out to see a lot of improv.
You're in the building.
I'll do it. I'm in the building. I do see stuff. Yeah. Yeah, but people have like games they tried with their college groups or whatever, and just bringing new dynamics, and the edits are quicker, the callbacks are more seamless and stuff. They just have, it's like, I guess I equate it to like baseball or basketball, something very American, where if you're in India where it's kind of popular, you'll have people just, it's
a different style of shot.
Right. And then now people come because it's so kind of ubiquitous. They come to Chicago, and the Chicago style kind of is taking back from some of the things other people learned that it gave back, you know, 30, 50 years ago.
But I think people make that conscious decision. This is where they have the advantage. When I was in Tallahassee, Florida in college, go Noles, there was an improv group there, but they were just doing short form. And all I knew was Sack Theater from Orlando. And the theater that they built in Atlanta, Dad's Garage. That was all the improv I knew. I didn't know anything else. I didn't know Second City was improv or not improv or what. So my knowledge was very limited. Now they have a far greater reach. And people know when they're in Kansas City, no, I want to go to the Chicago style. I want to go for the New York style. I like the Los Angeles style. This is the city I want to be in, and these are the places I want to study. So in that respect, I don't imagine that the training at the Annoyance has changed much in the 30 years.
No, probably
right?
not.
No. Nor has the training at I.O. changed from what it originally was.
Right.
Probably very much. Nor has the training at Second City changed very much, probably. So the style probably doesn't change a whole lot either. What changes is now there's a huge run of diversity, which has injected the community with a whole nother energy, which is fantastic because now you're seeing it from a different viewpoint. It's still the same game. It's still the same approach, but it's coming from a different viewpoint, and that opens it up to a whole nother
And that's important,
world.
Too. I mean, to keep a scene in Chicago sort of moving and thriving adding and injecting that diversity.
I've always been distantly very proud of Chicago for being forward-thinking in that way without having it pushed upon them as some television shows that are live from New York had to do, where they had to go, oh, what? You're mad at us because we're not diverse? We're holding auditions right now, as opposed to that. Second City was on it ahead of time. They were taking care of it and going, no, you're right. Long before you come to us with it, we're going to diversify. So in that respect, it's changed a little. But I think the approach has stayed the same.
Let me ask you guys this. I mean, both of being in the entertainment industry, I mean, you're seeing in Hollywood or even in just television, a whole different way to approach the medium. And people say the golden age of television because there's so much being produced, whether it be at Netflix, Amazon, the cable channels, wherever.
Yeah.
There is so many different ways to approach television in how you do seasons, how you shoot it, all this kind of stuff. Are you seeing it, Dan, like from your vantage point that this is a different age? This is something more exciting for an actor, for a writer, for the idea that there might be more opportunities for you? Or is that just sort of it's still the same game?
No, I think it's similar to what happened with music. I mean, at first you had rock and roll, which was just straight up rock and roll. You had Chuck Berry, you had Little Richard, you had Elvis Presley. And then you go into, well, now you have punk and you have heavy metal and you have country rock and you have all these things. And then even within them, punk had hardcore punk and punk had the Ramones and punk had the Clash, which are not a punk band. I'll stand and fight anyone who wants to.
I'm with you.
Thank you, Ed. And this man's opinion I agree with. So in that respect, I think that's what's happening is they're specifying so much that you can find this is the band for me or this is the brand for me or the style for me so that people love what Louis does.
Do you notice as an actor like more opportunities?
Oh, yeah. There's a ton more opportunities. There's also more competition. But when you start to establish yourself as one of the people that does this particular style, like the show I did on FX, Legit.
Yeah, of course.
Was a very Louis-type show. It was in that mold. It's in that Orange is the New Black kind of mold. That side of comedy of like, no, it's comedy because no one's done. Well, people die on Orange is the New Black. But it's comedy because we said so. But it's a different style. It's not Mary Tyler Moore. It's not even All in the Family. Right, it's different. Right. It's raw and it's edgy and it's dirty and it's Yeah, it's a different style. And I think the same thing is happening all
across
over
the board.
The place, yeah.
Well, the show's Trainwreck. It's back in town. It was a long-running show here in Chicago when Dan and Ed were ruling the scene. Still, you're back. You know, you guys are back. Mm-hmm. Dan back. Ed Furman, back. You're back.
We're not ruling anymore.
No, you're ruling from ruling a distance. Yeah. Dan back at all. Ed Furman, the show Trainwreck on stage at Second City ETC tomorrow night and Wednesday, 8 o'clock. Is it the start?
8 o'clock. And we are having a, we're doing our one long show. We're having a second act where we have a lot of special guests.
Yep.
Heavy hitters from the Chicago improv scene will be joining us. For a little more playful mayhem.
There you go. All right. That's what we like to hear.
See if you don't like us. You'll like someone in that second
They got
act,
great
sure.
pizza at that place, I'll tell you what. If you don't like us, eat the pizza.
Eat the pizza.
Love those mozzarella sticks, too. They're probably better.
Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.